everyone, before we get into today's podcast, I want to put a disclaimer at the beginning to let you know that you will hear my loud upstairs neighbors banging, not physically banging. Actually, I don't know what they were doing, but you do hear a background noise at the 31-minute mark, and as I was trying to edit, there are some robotic sounds, but they happen very quickly. I really wanted to get this episode out for you guys, and I did my best to try to edit all the background noise and weird things that might sound funny in this podcast episode. So just wanted to put that out there. I hope you guys enjoy. Hey everyone, and welcome to an all new episode of Mind of a Millennial podcast. I am your host, Kelsey Channing, and happy Black History Month. For the entire month of February, I will be shouting out Black owned businesses and brands that I love. And today's business is incredibly special to me because it is owned and operated by one of my best friends. Beauty and Grace Cosmetics is an all-natural, gluten, and cruelty-free makeup line owned and operated by Germany DeFillo. Germany is a young, Black, millennial mother who is in love with all things beauty and wants to share that with other women like herself. If you're listening to this on the day this episode airs, which is February 3rd, 2021, then you need to head over to beautyandgracecosmetics.net and shop because Germany has restocked all of the fan favorites and even has some new goodies for us on the site. I will have everything linked down below in the description for y'all. I am personally obsessed with Beauty and Grace's lip stays because it literally does what the name says. It stays, okay? Which is especially important when you are wearing a mask because you don't have to worry about it rubbing off or transferring, which is important. Again, head to beautyandgracecosmetics.net to shop and make sure you get what you need soon because I plan to buy up all of Germany's inventory, so you need to beat me to it. All right, so February is obviously Black History Month, but there is another significant thing about the month of February. So February is also known as the month of love because there is a very pesky and annoying holiday called Valentine's Day that happens in the middle of February. And I'm sorry if I sound like the Grinch of Valentine's Day, but let me be honest with you. This is the first Valentine's that I'm not celebrating with a significant other in like 2 years. So like I'm hella feeling a kind of way. However, I can ignore Valentine's Day if I want to because one of my best friends, Colby, shout out to Colby. He's born on February 14th, so I can just completely ignore the holiday and just celebrate Colbs, which is what I plan to do. But in reality, I can't ignore the holiday because I have been constantly assaulted with all the red hearts and flowers and chocolates and teddy bears that have been displayed in all of the stores since literally January 2nd. Now, if you have been a fan of mine, follower of mine, friend of mine for a while, then you know I actually love relationships. I love writing about relationships. I love talking about relationships. This year, though, I'm just more humbuggish, you can say, about it because I am currently extremely single, but whatever, that will change. But instead of dwelling in the annoyance of me not getting a gift from a boyfriend this year, you know, I began to think about my personal love life, millennials and dating and what I really want in a relationship. And I'm about to say something that I didn't think I would utter out of my mouth anytime soon, but I'm about to say it. Let me take a deep breath. Whew. I'm ready to be in love again, y'all. I am ready to be in love again. I know. I'm honestly still trying to process all of those feelings. So come with me along, like come along for the ride with me. So if you're ready to hear a brief, very brief overview of my love and dating life, my thoughts on our generation and how we have completely changed dating and relationships, and what I'm looking for in a new boo, then keep on listening. So I was allowed to start dating when I was about 16 years old, like 16, 17. That's when I remember like going to my parents and saying, "Hey mom, such and such asked if I can go bowling or go to the movies." I live when I was younger. I'm born and raised in Lake Charles, Louisiana. So there really wasn't much to do other than go bowling or to the movies, like way back then. So I remember them allowing me to do that. The guy that I first started dating, he had taken me out to like all the middle school and like high school dances or whatever. So like my parents knew his family and everything. So it was pretty legit to them. So, but we were never like boyfriend, girlfriend. We just were like hanging out back then, whatever hanging out was when you're 16, 17 years old. So that was like my sophomore, junior year of high school. Well, my senior year of high school when I turned 17, yeah, I'm pretty young. So I graduated high school at 17 years old. So yeah, so my senior year, I was 17, and that is when I get my very first boyfriend. I'm going to keep everyone's name anonymous, so if you are an ex listening to this, just, you know, just know I keep it a buck. Like I'll keep it like completely anonymous, but I'm telling my truth, okay? So 17, first boyfriend, you know, thinking back on it, hindsight is 2020, of course. So obviously dating in high school wasn't as deep as dating now. But back then, you could not tell me that I wasn't in love. And it worked out so great because our families got along. I'm close with his brother and sister-in-law and all these things. And I'm still very close to the family, like, today, just, you know, friendship-wise. But him and I dated our senior year of high school all the way up to my sophomore year of college. So like my late teens, early adult life. So from 17 to 20 years old, I was in a relationship. Save that point for later about how long like I've dated this person. Then we broke up. You know, it's very hard to maintain a relationship from high school to college because like right when you hit freshman year, you're just trying to figure yourself out and, you know, things change. There are so many more, you have so many more options and just, and I'm not even talking about like dating wise. Of course you have more dating options because like you're now in a pool of other young single people. And I went to UL Lafayette and UL was like very diverse and I was meeting people from New Orleans and out of state and like people I never had been around because Lake Charles is so small and you literally, if you're like, if you grow up and stay in Lake Charles, you only know people from Lake Charles. So like we just, you know, found out that our wants and desires were completely different. And even back then, I was like a very loyal and committed person, which I still am today. But I do wish that maybe during that 2-year time I was dating my high school boyfriend, like that 2-year time in college that I was dating my high school boyfriend, that, I don't know, that I got out more, that maybe I explored UL and Lafayette more, because later on in the story, you'll find out, like, I really didn't, like, get on the scene until I was about, like, 22. So let me move on to that part. So he and I dated about 3 years, so 17 to about my 20th-ish birthday. Then we broke up, and I may have been, I don't even know how long I was quote-unquote single for, but then I started this everyone's laughing. If, like, everyone who knows me is probably laughing listening to this because they know who this person is. But, you know, shout out to that person. No hard feelings. So after my high school boyfriend and I broke up, it was about my sophomore year in college. I guess I was heading into junior year. So this was like summer between sophomore and junior year of college. And I started this 2-year, too long situation relationship. And this person was never, ever officially my boyfriend. But I feel like us young girls, especially in college, and just kind of women in general, depending on like where your headspace is. So if you're like kind of naive, which I was, I think I mentioned like I started dating when I was 16 and I was in these like years long thing to emphasize how naive I was when it came to dating. So like I wasn't like dating multiple people, seeing multiple people, sleeping with multiple people, none of that. Like, so I was very green. So when you're very green, you kind of fall into, you unintentionally fall into the situationship traps. And that's what they are. Like, a situationship is kind of like a trap. And it's limbo. It's purgatory. You're just stuck there because yourself or the other party gets comfortable and really has no intentions of moving the relationship forward in progression or making anything official, but they don't want to lose you or you don't want to lose that person. That's all the lies we feed ourselves and they tell us, huh? So I was in this years-long situationship for a little over 2 years. I mean, it was pretty intense. And this was my like soft junior, technically senior year of college, but I'm like a super senior at UL, so, you know, take that as you will. But that was super intense, and that was my first adult relationship. So I was about 21. I was able to drink. This person was older. The first time we like hung out, I got like hella drunk at a local bar, and it was just a mess from that point forward. But, you know, we still talked and, you know, did our thing. And that relationship was kind of like the catalyst of like showing me what being in an adult, I don't want to use the word mature because neither of us were mature, but an adult, like, real relationship. Again, this person was older than me by like 2 years, and I just thought that they were so cool, and so I thought they were mature than me at that time. Wasn't actually the case, but, you know, it opened my world to just, I guess, other people, right? It opened the world up to me that other people exist in this world, other people do different things, and, you know, that person really just put me onto a lot. And that's the last nice thing I'm gonna say about this person, but again, no hard feelings. So we did our thing for about 2 years, and then I just got tired of it. I, you know, felt the pull of my feelings wanting more and knowing that I deserved more than just being kept in this limbo of, oh, I'm not ready to date. Oh, you know, I have this going on. Once I have this done in my life, then I'll be emotionally ready to like commit to a girlfriend, you know? So I was fed all that bullshit for a while, and I willingly accepted it for a long time because, again, I was so like green and naive. Maybe I thought that this was how it was supposed to go, but I quickly learned, well, I don't know how quick 2 years is, but I learned soon enough that this isn't the right thing for me. I was learning a lot more about myself, my wants, desires, and needs in this relationship. So I don't regret it at all because it has made me into like the person that I am today. But thinking back on it, I can't believe I allowed myself to even settle for that long because that's what I was doing. So when the relationship came to an end, I was a little bit more like, I was obviously really hurt behind it, but I was at the point where I was done and I knew I needed and deserved more. So I think we broke up when I was about like 23, 22, 23. And that's when I stepped on the scene, baby. Like, I mean, people kind of knew me at UL. Like, I would always post pretty pictures on Instagram and things like that. And I was really involved in the clubs and organizations there. So like the friends that I made in college, they were like super well known. So, you know, that's just kind of like how I knew people before, like really stepping on the scene. And what I mean by stepping on the scene is that's when I started going to the clubs, because when I was in a, like when I was in my relationship, the one from high school, I for damn sure wasn't going to the club. I was like, oh no, that's beneath me. What are you going to the club for? You're going to, you know, you're going to look for people. You're trying to find trouble, essentially, is just how I kind of felt. And I regret that because I missed out on a lot. I regret it. Yeah, I think I mostly regret it. But then also I'm mostly like, okay, I'm kind of glad I didn't do that at such a young age. Like I was drinking before 21. Oops. Sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening. So I was already doing that. So like drinking at the club or trying to find free drinks or whatever didn't faze me because I could just do that without having to be at the club. So I really felt like me going to the club was just a waste of time because whatever the club had for me, I wasn't even looking for it. So 23 years old is when I really started getting on the scene. And that's when I had a very close friend who knew a lot of people, and my ass was like on the flyers, the party promotion flyers. That's something I fucking regret, okay? I cannot believe I allowed myself, my photos, to be on a flyer to promote a club. And I mean, the benefits of it were, like, I guess, like, we got in for free. I think that's what it was. Like, we got in for free, and of course, we knew the club promoters, and we always had a section, I guess. Like, you know, we didn't ever have to just stand around in the club. Like me and my friends, we like to sit down. So we always had a place to sit, I guess, and liquor, you know, whatever. So at 23, I was really like my eyes were opening up to another new world of just going out and having fun. And obviously my opinions on going to the club changed because I was in a different place. I was like fully single at age 23. Yeah. I was fully single at like age 23, wasn't in a situationship. So I was like dating and talking, and truly I think I'm gonna emphasize more on this part a little later in the episode, but like dating and talking really aren't for me. I'm not that kind of person. And no hate to the people that are, but like I guess this is what I'm trying to say. I do like dating. I love dating people because my definition of dating is something completely different than maybe what other people's like definition of dating may be. So my definition of dating is like you getting to know somebody, they're taking you out on dates. So like dating to me isn't like a committed relationship. So I actually do like dating, but like the whole talking situationship vibe that I felt like everyone that I was kind of interested in getting to know, I felt like that was the vibe that they were on. And that's just not my vibe. So years go by and, you know, talking to this person, talking to that person, really not finding anything of substance. But here's the thing, like, if I like you, I like you a lot. And I'm not crazy in the sense that like I do too much, but like I feel like it takes a lot for me to like somebody. So like you need to understand that. But you know, men don't be understanding that most times, but it does take a lot for me to like you just because I feel like I'm weird. I'm on like a weird vibe to me. Like I can be standoffish. I can be moody. So like if I choose to overcome those feelings to like talk to you or like allow you to be like in my presence, it's a big deal. So 23 through, let me think, 23 through the age of, how old am I now? I'm 26. Yeah, I'm 26. I'll be 27 this year. So from 23 to 25. Yep. So from 23 to 25, very single, hella single, learning about dating, learning about just how fucked up our generation is when it comes to expressing our feelings and just learning how we really don't even know what to say to a person that we like, or we don't really know how to, I don't know, like communicate well, I guess, with one another. And our generation did that, but I'm going to touch on that a little bit later. But yeah, just kind of realizing that, you know, or I guess I can say at that time from the age of 23 to 25, more later on, like closer to 25, I was just like kind of in a place where I was just going to accept that this is all what we have. Like, this is all the men out there. They're all the same. You know, people in our generation are fine with just settling. So, like, I just was very discouraged about, you know, dating and finding somebody that I was supposed to be with. Because I realized that I am truly a romantic and I'm someone that really likes to be catered to, but I'll get more into that in a little bit later. So 23 to 25, single, and then kind of out of nowhere, this is when I truly stopped trying. And I believe that this happens to a lot of us out there. When we truly stop trying, that's when we find kind of somebody out the blue. So wasn't looking for anybody. And suddenly on Instagram, this person that I knew liked me for years, and that's not a brag, it's just a fact. This person that liked me for years was always, you know, in my DMs. But like at the time when he was in my DMs, like I really wasn't responding because I was, like I said, going through so much dealing with the situationship and trying to learn how to date, all these things, whatever. So like when he would reach out like years and years before this, I just was not on that level. I wasn't like ready to talk to him, I guess. Well, you know, he popped up on the TL one day and I knew that like he was always interested in me just by him liking my pictures, commenting on them, messaging me, whatever. So I saw a picture and I was like, okay. Whole new world. Open my eyes. So I DM'd him and then the rest was kind of history. So I get into a relationship with him. And at the time that we got into the relationship, I believed that this was everything that I ever wanted. And it was at the time, you know, I felt like I was being catered to. I felt like this person really was able to express their feelings to me well. There were no games. And it just kind of like validated my opinion of like, if someone really likes you and someone is really wanting to make things happen, they just will. And you don't have to like play this weird game of, you know, like this cat and mouse game that we have going on. It's like, oh, this person took 2 hours to text me back, so I'm gonna wait 2.5 to 3 hours to text them back. Or, oh, this person, I saw this person talking to this person, so like I'm gonna post this picture and get them to realize what they have. Like, you don't have to do any of that when it comes to the person, when it comes to the right person, right? You don't have to play any of these millennial dating games. And me and this person were great. And I have nothing but love and respect for this person, you know, to this day. We just ultimately realized that situation was, I guess, not, I don't want to say not all that we expected it to be, but in that time, we were both going through like big transitions in our lives. So like, and that's okay. I was super devastated, if I'm being very honest, like right at the beginning of our breakup. I was very bitter, very annoyed, really, because I thought this person was probably the one. So like when you think that with somebody and it ultimately does not happen, that can really hurt us and really affect us, because, you know, we're thinking, especially if you're a romantic like me, you're thinking like you're going to have this big kumbaya wedding with all your friends and your families love each other and you're close with the mom, the dad, the sister, the brother, all the things, the sister-in-law, and they're close with your mom, dad, brother, and like everyone's vibing and stuff. So when that doesn't happen, it's a big blow to you. But I learned so much about myself in that relationship, and I learned just, I guess it helped refine the things that I know that I need in a relationship. I think prior to me dating this, my most recent ex, I think I always kind of knew what I wanted. Like I knew what I needed. Like I needed just like the standard, you know, but I realized that my needs are more than that. And I should be able to express those needs. And if a person can't reciprocate that, then it's okay to let that person go. And that's just kind of what I learned. So I have been single now for, it's at the year point now. And, you know, right at the beginning of our breakup, I was very much so on a fuck this, I'm doing me. You know, of course, then the panty happened. So the panini, the pandemic, the Pangea, COVID happened. So it put a wrench in my plans. But, you know, I was really very much so on a vibe of I'm literally doing me. I'm really going to go out and date. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I've kind of been doing some of it. Of course, COVID has restricted a lot of things from happening, which is honestly good because now thinking on post-pandemic dating life or just post-pandemic life, if we ever make it there, because God only knows, but thinking into the future, I'm kind of disgusted by a lot of the actions that we thought were normal prior to COVID, but I digress, whatever. So I'm just thinking COVID actually kind of saved me because I can you can kind of keep a respectful distance from somebody. You don't have to worry about them being all up in your face and all that. So whatever. So yeah, after the breakup with him, I just was on my single girl shit. I remember talking to my roommate, Camille, at the time, and I was like, I want to date three people at one time. She was like, slow it down. Let's scale it back. You have been in a relationship for so long. You probably can't handle the three people dating game. And she was right. I can't. That's too much work. And I'm honestly lazy in the sense of where I give my time and energy to. I barely have time and energy to give to myself. I can't imagine giving it to three men, you know, whatever. So I'm glad Camille slowed my roll there. But I was definitely on a wave of I am really going to do me. But in this year that I have been single, you know, I've seen people, I've talked to people that I have really liked and maybe had hoped that something more could happen, but as of this recording, nothing has happened and I am still very much single. But it was really in this year of, you know, learning, this is the year that I really learned about myself, and I learned a few things. One being how I hate millennials and dating. I hate it. I think that we have completely changed the game of what dating is. We have developed terms like the talking stage, like I mentioned before. We developed terms and situations like a situationship. And I think dating is so informal now. And I'm someone who's bougie and formal. That's the time I'm on. So if my future boo is listening to this, your girl likes to, you know, she likes the flowers. She likes the planned out romantic get dressed up kind of dates. But I feel like with millennials, we accept the bare minimum because we have just, maybe it's because we have just accepted that this is how it is and this is how, you know, we should now operate, which I'm very much so against that. I don't know where this came from though in our generation. Maybe I'm gonna dive deeper into that, and if you're listening and you have an answer, please, for the love of God, let me know, because I'm not really sure, you know, how our generation ended up like that. I don't come from divorce. My parents have been married for 28 years. So I was raised in a house of love and acceptance and all of that. But I do realize that it's kind of rare for people our age now. I feel like a lot of our generation has divorced parents. So maybe that's where it comes from. So I'm not sure about that. Someone let me know. But this is what I think. This is what I think happened to our generation. You ready for it? If the wheels are turning now in my head. So I think I have an answer as to how or why we ended up like this and why we're so fucked. The fucking internet, social media. We grew up with the internet, and it was our generation, millennials, that, you know, we were the generation that had AIM. Y'all remember AIM? Like AOL and MySpace and God, like all the internet. I remember like AOL dial-up internet. So like we were the generation that like was introduced to it, like the old ways of technology, like super young. And so we've just grown up with it over time. So we saw the startups of Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all of that. So I think that made the world more accessible too. So maybe, you know, we feel like we can just date around and do all these things because we see that there's more out there, possibly. But that still doesn't excuse the games that people are playing, right? Like just because you have more options doesn't mean that you need to play all these weird dating games. Like if I'm being honest, I think Steve Harvey is dumb. I don't really care for him because like of that, like act like a lady, think like a man. I think all of that shit is bullshit. And excuse me, I'm cursing. I'm very passionate right now. I think like the whole entire like waiting, dating, games and all that is dumb, and you shouldn't like, I mean, whatever works for, let me not cast judgment. Whatever works for you, and go with your move if it does. But I believe that, like, you don't need all that. Maybe I'm naive to think that, but I just don't think you need all that. I think if you like somebody, you like somebody. If they don't like you back, okay, move on. But then again, that's when we get into the realms of like, if you have low self-esteem and all this. So that's the thing. I'm so sorry if you guys hear a racket. It's my upstairs neighbors and I hate them. But maybe that's the thing. I still think it's social media that has caused us to play these weird kind of games. But I think that it plays a part deeper than just dating. So social media has made us more insecure. It has made us more like brainwashed to things. So when I said accessible before, so yes, social media has given us the accessibility to see other people, but it's also given us, you know, the accessibility to like hear other people's dumbass opinions. And it's allowed other people's dumbass opinions to be elevated on these platforms. So I think that's just where we're all fucked up with millennials in dating. I kind of went on a rant here. I think I'm going to come back to this topic in the near future with the podcast, and maybe I'll have a guest on so that we can like bounce ideas back, off of each other to like see if we have common ground and to see if we agree on like where our generation is going wrong with dating. So I was talking about millennials and dating and how I think our generation has changed it, fucked it up, did all the things because of social media, and maybe because our generation has our parents have a high divorce rate, and that has possibly affected us too when it comes to like our dating and love life. I don't know. These are all just my theories. Again, I welcome somebody to come on the podcast if you're listening to talk to me more about it. Tell me more about your situation and kind of like what shapes dating and love and stuff for you, because I do believe that like seeing my parents, you know, love each other for my whole entire life, and they're gross. They really do love each other. I think that has just shifted my viewpoint on standards and like what I expect and what I don't expect from relationships. So let's move on to that part. So I told y'all in the intro that I'm ready to be in love again, and I am, and I mean that with my full chest. Okay, I say that with my chest. I am ready to be in love again. And I had to come to that conclusion pretty recently, but I was just doing a lot of thinking about how I want to go about my next relationship and what I want out of the next person that I date. And it's nothing like superficial. Some of it is, but a lot of it is just like I have realized that I want somebody. So this is what we're about to transition to, things I'm looking for in my next relationship. So number one, I'm looking for somebody that shares similar interests to me. And what I mean by that is like we like doing the same things. And I know that can be like, duh, well, of course you're supposed to date someone who has similar interests to you. But when you really think about it, like, are you and the person you're dating, like, do y'all really like the same things or do y'all just like some of the same things? You know, like with my last few relationships, I realized like after the fact that we're very different. And this is like superficial. So like last relationship, this person didn't like to go out to eat for dinner. And that's what I like to do. That's how I have fun sometimes, most times. Feed me and we're great. But I like to get dressed up, go out to dinner. I like to do things. I like to go to the museums. I like to, you know, sit in the park and read and, you know, maybe have a picnic and drink wine and talk and listen to podcasts and really just elevate my mind. And it's like this person and I didn't, like, we had common interests in some ways, but like fundamentally we were different. And I realized moving forward that I need somebody who, like, we are really on the same wave of like similar interests. Like I said, just, you know, being able to vibe. And I guess we find fun in the same ways. The next thing, I need someone that is really able to communicate well, or at least, and this isn't settling because I know people really do find it hard to communicate, like to initially state their feelings. So at the very least, someone who is able to, if I ask them a question, if they're able to answer the question outright and then express themselves that way. Like, I have understanding for people who aren't able to, you know, vocally outright say what's on their mind. But if I'm like opening the door of your mind to be able to express yourself, like I make it a safe place, then I'm going to need you to be able to communicate that with me, or at least communicate with me that you're a bad communicator. And then maybe we can like try and work from there. But I really need a lot of like understanding, someone being able to express their needs and wants to me, because I'm able to express my needs and wants to someone else now. And when someone doesn't reciprocate that, then you, even though you're doing, and I'm talking about me, but you in the general, like if someone that you're dating isn't able to express their needs and wants to you, you expressing your needs and wants to them can come off like naggy to them. You know, like maybe you're asking for too much or maybe you're doing too much and you shouldn't have to go through that, right? The third thing is that I need the next person that I'm in a relationship with to have a very good relationship with my parents, and I need to have a very good relationship with their parents. That's a very much so a deal breaker for me. Like if I can't get along with your family, you can't get along with my family, because my family, they are very sound and reasonable people. They have always had my back. I would never go against my family just to date somebody, but I need that. Like, I need you to be close with my dad. I need you to be close with my mom. I need that from your family. If you have a sister, I want her and I to be best friends. You know, I really value family in my life. So I'm definitely looking for that in the next person that I date. But if I can't like your mama, I'm sorry, like I can't date you at all. Another thing that I'm looking for somebody who has realistic goals and expectations for themselves and an actual plan to execute that vision. I'm a dreamer too. I'm a dreamer, I'm a creative, but I'm also a realist, which is what saves me a lot of times, that I'm not just off in la la land with like my dreams. Like you can dream a dream forever, but when are you going to make it a reality, right? So I need somebody that has the ambition and the drive to make, to like be able to express their dreams and say what they want to accomplish in life, but also a plan to do it. And I need to see, you know, that action taking place. Another thing, gosh, I need to be very, very attracted to this person, period. Point blank, if I have to question that, if I think you're cute or not, you're just not for me. And it's really, I'm like totally somebody who, I'm not picky. All the people that I've dated have looked different to me, you know. My friends think I have a pattern, but I don't. All of the people I've dated, I feel like look different. I don't have a type or anything, but I just have to be able to find you very attractive, because that's all that matters. Honestly, I need somebody who takes horrible Instagram photos but looks fine in real life. Is that, I don't even know if that person exists, right? But that's what I need. Also, I at this point just came to mind what I need out of my next relationship. I'm going to need the next person that I date to be very understanding. And what I mean by that is I have this podcast. I am a writer. Like I said, I love relationships. I write about relationships. I talk about relationships. So you're going to have to be comfortable and very, so I guess this is what I'm trying to say. I need somebody who's very secure in themselves. I don't need the insecurity. I don't care for it. I don't want it. The moment you show insecurity to me, you're done. Like, I'm disgusted by you. And I'm not talking about like just the insecurity of just life. Maybe this is what I'm talking about. Not insecurity. Maybe jealousy should be the right word that I say. So if I'm using my creative outlets to just express myself, my thoughts, feelings, opinions, I'm going to need the person that I'm dating to not take it personally. If I talk about an ex from 5 years ago, just know that I'm talking about it because I've realized something and it's led me to the point of being able to be with you, right? And then I'm going to need the person to understand that I might talk about our relationship just a little bit, keep it anonymous, because truly, I wrote an article about this too. I'm like never posting the person that I'm dating on social media like ever again. But, you know, again, another topic for later. I have so many topics, so many episodes that I have to do of this podcast. But that's just something, that's just not the vibe that I'm on, like really posting. Because again, y'all heard my opinions about social media and stuff. I just think it's the devil and it ruins dating and relationships. So just someone who's just comfortable with that, someone who is comfortable within themselves, but also comfortable enough to allow me to be me, right? And that's just the bare minimum. I literally wrote a list of like what I want out of my next relationship, out of my next boyfriend. And I've just decided that I'm okay with being single, even though I'm very much butthurt about this year's Valentine. But I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm becoming the woman that I'm supposed to be for my future person. Because I know that I'll get there. I know that I will get to a place where I am able to finally have everything that I want. I will be at the place where I'm in love again and able to express that love to somebody in a very healthy way, and they're able to reciprocate those feelings. But for now, I am okay with just learning, growing, and praying. So that's why I wrote down this list. That's why I'm voicing it out loud in this podcast. That's why I said I'm ready to be in love again, because I do feel like you have to put those feelings out there and you have to, you know, let it be known to God, the universe, your higher power, whatever, for the seed to be planted. And now it's time to pray over it, water it, and just let it grow, right? So that's what I'll be doing in this time that I am currently in. And I'm okay with that. So to all the people that are celebrating Valentine's Day with a significant other, congratulations to you all. For all the ones that won't be, it's okay. Call me, you know, call me if you need to do a Galentine's Day. I'm all for that. But just know, whether you're single or dating somebody or in a committed relationship, to love yourself first and foremost. You can't not love yourself and expect to be in a relationship that is healthy and sustainable. So if February is the month of love, then I would rank loving yourself as number one. All right, everybody, that is the show today. Thank you all for listening. All the Kelsey Mind, that's how I'm like titling it, Kelsey's Mind episodes, is just me rambling. So if you can really like fuck with me just talking, then I fuck with you heavy, okay? Next week, I plan to have a guest. It's going to be kind of a part two of this because next week is the Wednesday before Valentine's Day. So I kind of still want to go with my flow of this whole relationship and dating topics. But we have a good episode with a special guest. I'll reveal it later on this week, so stay tuned for that. And if you loved everything you heard today, and if you've loved any other episode that I put out, be sure to comment, rate, and subscribe, and follow Mind of a Millennial Podcast on Instagram. It is Millennial Mind Pod. I will have everything in the description, and I will have all of Beauty and Grace's cosmetics information in the description as well. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.